Returning to Exodus chapter 32, the book of Exodus chapter 32. We discussed last week how that there in the last verse of chapter 31 that Moses was on Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony that were written by the finger of God. And we got into the first six verses of chapter 32 about where the people grew weary, I guess, of the length of time that Moses had been gone. They talked Aaron into, I guess really they coerced Aaron into making them an idol, the golden calf. And we discussed last week about why they reacted the way they did, why they were so impatient. What was their image of God? And we talked about the fact that at this point in time, they hadn't seen anything written yet. They had heard from God, you know, back in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, but they hadn't seen these written tablets of stone yet. And we discussed the fact that maybe they'd looked at God's handiwork around them, which we can still do today, and see God in his artwork, so to speak, and possibly, you know, in seeing these rocks and trees that God created along with everything else, that we discussed the fact that maybe it shouldn't surprise us that they had this image of God through physical objects. And maybe it shouldn't surprise us that they wanted to make this golden calf while Moses was on Mount Sinai. And I mentioned that it probably shouldn't surprise us the very first two commandments. Remember back in Exodus 20, the very first two commandments, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. First one was, you shall have no gods before me. And then the second one was, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on earth below or under the water. Now, whether we can understand or not exactly why they reacted the way they did, Let's get into verses 7 through 10 to see what God's reaction was to what they did. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you.'" Was this just simply a case of God being disappointed and angry with his people? Do you think that's all there was to it? The straw that broke the camel's back. That's a good way to put it. Did you notice in verse 7 what the Lord said to Moses? "Go down for your people." whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Now we're going to see once we get down into Moses' reaction in the next verses about what God said, we're going to see something along that same line. But hold that and just remember this. Human wisdom, as opposed to God's wisdom, is the real lesson. The Lord wanted his people to understand that their God was totally different than those gods that they were used to in Egypt. God wanted his people to accept him on his terms. Brother Mark Day had a good lesson Sunday in talking about the parable of the wedding feast. Remember what he said? That the Lord furnishes the garment, but they didn't put it on. It's the same today that Brother Mark brought out so well. We have to put on the garment today, so to speak. We have to put on Christ. We have to accept God on his terms. That's what these people were not doing. And I'm afraid we're guilty of the same thing a lot today. When things don't go our way, we see the answer to something. We see the fix. And we know that God can fix it. But God's way is not our way. That's the problem, isn't it? And it was a problem with these people. The Lord alone is God. Now, in order to see that more clearly, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 through 40. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 32 through 40. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of a God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice that he might discipline you. And on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after them and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you to bring you in to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore today and lay it to your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore, you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. God commands obedience. any form of idolatry is forbidden. We know from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 that God is love. And we should know that very well. Another scripture that we should know very well, you might say is the flip side of that, is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. God is a consuming fire. God is love, and God is a consuming fire. That was cited actually from Deuteronomy 4 also, back in verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. You go on to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. It says, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord. People in those days had a tendency to rely on human wisdom instead of godly wisdom. They needed to recognize that the one true God who created all things offers infinite wisdom. He is the God who has revealed himself. The fact that God had revealed himself was a sharp contrast to all those gods of Egypt. Their differences was described in Psalms 115, verses 4 through 7, which said, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not feel. Feet, but they do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. So you see, these gods of these pagan idols were mute idols. They couldn't compare to the God that was described by Moses, that was a living God who had spoken his messages to mankind. There is no other like him, and the one and only true God deserves obedience. Now, we've seen God's reaction. And we may think it sounds a little harsh. Let's read about Moses' reaction to God's reaction, verses 11 through 14. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against, notice this, your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Nobody seems to want to claim these people. God told Moses they were your people. You brought them up out of the land of Egypt. Moses said, told God, they're your people and you brought them up. God pleaded his case, so to speak, didn't he? And Moses here pleads his case. You'll notice if you have the King James, if my research is correct, it's the only translation that uses the word repent there in verse 12, the end of verse 12 and 14. Yeah, right. In verse 14. The American Standard also uses repent? Okay. I checked about seven different translations. I must have forgot that somehow. And all of them said relent, except for, I guess it was King James and the American Standard. Now, I realize that word repent can be used in a different way than to change your mind. And maybe that's apparently what the King James and the American Standard, the reason they used it, they were using repent. Do you think that's the case in a way other than to change your mind? You think he did change his mind? Okay, hold that, and we'll get into that a little bit. So you're saying then that God does have at times a reason to repent of something, to change his mind about something. Right, exactly. Now, there are some, I saw some concordances that would give any number of translations you could use for it, and some were a little more toward the relent side. What it would mean to relent. If my studies are correct, God never has a reason to repent, never has a reason to change his mind. Relent means to have compassion or soften or postpone, which in this case is exactly what God did. Isn't all he did was postpone destroying the people? That's all it was a postponement. Now bear with me on this. Go to Judges chapter 21 and verse 6. Judges chapter 21 and verse 6. Now, this is the English Standard that I'm using here, and it says, "And the people of Israel had compassion for Benjamin." The King James says, "repented for Benjamin." Does the American Standard also say, "repented for Benjamin"? Now, I think we need to ask ourselves the question, does God ever change his mind? Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. Now this again is the English Standard. "And also the glory of Israel will not lie or have regret, for he is not a man that he should have regret." Now, if you're in the King James, and I assume the American Standard, it says, "will not lie or repent. He is not a man that he should repent." Now, I submit to you, this is not a contradiction. While you're in 1 Samuel 15, go down to verse 35 there. It says, and the Lord regretted, in this translation, and again in the King James it says, the Lord repented. That he made Saul king over Israel. God is not a man that he should repent. We saw there in 1 Samuel. But he did anyway. So, let's look into that a little deeper. Again, does God ever change his mind? Go back in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Just before Deuteronomy, Numbers. Chapter 23, Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Now, the King James says repent. Does the American Standard say repent there also? Pardon? What is it says he regretted? In what? King James? New King James says he regretted. Okay. Says what? Your New King James says he repent? But either way you want to look at that now, God is not man that he should lie, or a man that he should change his mind or repent. He's not a man that he should do that. Now, go with me to the book of Psalms 110. Psalms 110. And verse 4. Psalms 110 and verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. What does the King James say? Repent. Repent. New King James. Relent. You see where I'm going with this? The Lord has sworn. He won't repent. He won't change his mind. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. What does American Standard say in Malachi 3:6? What does the King James say? Do not what? Change. The King James says, do not change. I assume the American Standard probably does too. So there, the translations seem to at least agree on that. I, the Lord, do not change. Change not. Okay. Now back to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 14. I will simply say this within my study of all this. God never changes nor changes his mind, but however God has compassion on his people, and he will postpone the inevitable. And that's exactly what I see that he did here. Now, let's go ahead and read. I think we've got time to read verses 15 through 24 and at least get that in and know what to study next time. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back, they were written. The tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. Excuse me. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people that they are set on evil, for they said to me, 'Make us gods who shall go before us.' As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, 'Let any who have gold take it off.' So they gave it to me and threw it into the fire, and out came this calf."
Put that in mind. I can't believe they said that list.
Yeah. Out came this calf. You know, didn't Moses earlier plead with God to have compassion? Where is his compassion now? You think maybe that maybe hearing about something doesn't hit as hard as actually seeing the results of something. Think about that for the next time we're out of time, and we'll go a little further into this all about Aaron and so forth here. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Our most righteous Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are and the fact that you are the only one true and living God. We thank you for this study that we can be reminded of that fact and know that when sometimes we want to go our own way in things, that your way is the only way. Help us, Father, to always look to you for all things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.